It's the same, but black.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Things are about to get weird.
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And Di.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. We are back.
Back, Jeff.
Yeah, I just got back from New York.
My God.
As of yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Recording.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm tired. I've been traveling for the last 3 weekends.
Yep.
So.
And we have the best episode for you to come back to.
Yeah, I'm very. Yeah. I like I said, I feel like I'm. I feel like I'm floating right now because I don't know what time of day it is.
Amazing.
I'm just going through the motions here, but
for sure
we're back. We're back. I'm actually gonna be home for the next maybe month.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
Yay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
What amazing news do we have in store?
Well, we're going to start out strong because first and foremost, Marvel Studios is skipping San Diego Comic-Con.
Sure. Saw that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what am I going to do now? Which is what a lot of people say, but it's going to be nice because it deters people.
It'll be a balanced weekend.
Exactly. It'll be like whatever couple of years ago they did not show up. You're just able to walk into Hall H.
Yeah.
Walk in.
Yeah.
Because there's no freaking line. Yeah. And so that there is no status on whether DC will be there. I don't anticipate they'll be there because Superman will be full on in theaters the week before into that week. And so I don't know what the balance is going to be like, but we'll find out soon enough because they're going to start releasing all the stuff. And so the common consensus, though, otherwise, is that people are just like, is Marvel Entertainment going to still be around and in what capacity? Because the last few years, their booth has been strange. Like, it's not Doctor, but it's built out. It doesn't have much. It's a photo op and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas in previous years, they sell merch, exclusives. Mm. And so, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they try to hawk, if anything, at this convention. But we'll see. I do suspect that there will be some fantastic promotions, perhaps a screening, but I don't know. I'm starting to wonder because with Doomsday filming.
Yes.
The likelihood is kind of, are they really going to exhaust the cast by bringing them in?
Yeah.
And then taking them out and then, you know, I don't know.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. But for right now, no MCU, no Marvel Studios at San Diego Comic-Con. And so I forgot to mention this next bit in our last episode. And it's regarding Spider-Man Noir. So we looked
That's
at
right.
the picture with Steven. But did you see the footage?
Nah, I don't think so.
There's footage.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so what had happened was mid-May, a teaser trailer was released at the Amazon Upfronts 2025. However, the footage hasn't been publicly shared.
Mm.
So there are leaked versions online, and it's not the weird, terrible angle type. It's like it was straight up stripped from somewhere because it's
crazy.
It's pretty decent quality. It's almost high quality. And so I did not realize this. I watched it, and I was like, yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks pretty solid, and yeah, the suit looks great. Still very curious where this is all going to go, but yeah, and if you can find it, you can find it, but otherwise it's been pulled down by DMCA, so... yeah, I was going to upload it, and then I was like, oh, this is not official.
It's not even, like, nothing's public about it, yeah.
Nothing. It's not on Amazon anywhere. And so, yeah, you can find it if you look for it. But I'm very curious to hear what other people think. In any case, it's now slated for a 2026 release on MGM Plus. Strange.
What?
Yeah,
not even
like,
Prime?
What? Yeah. I don't
know.
Well,
then I'm never going to watch it.
I know. I was like, how am I? I'm sure it'll be some 7-day trial thing,
sure.
But depending on how they drop it.
I know.
It will consist of 8 episodes total for the season. So, yeah, I guess we'll find out sometime in the next half year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. And then, of course, Fantastic Four. So again, it's hard for me to not get salty about Fantastic Four. In that only because, one, people are like, oh, Thunderbolts flopped, didn't make $500,000 or $500 million. And I'm like, the movie was out for literally 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's not fair. And also the marketing got throttled because they were going hard for Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Like hard, like poor Ironheart. We're going to talk about that in a second. But all the marketing really, really went into Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Like there was no merchandise for Thunderbolts, barely, you know, aside the trading cards that we posted on social media today. And they just didn't have as much. But now they're, you know, now they're just going hard on Fantastic Four. And I'm like, oh, it would have been nice to actually have more stuff for Thunderbolts. But it's okay.
It's hard.
I know. But so what do you think? What do you think? How are you feeling about the popcorn bucket situation?
The Galactus one looks crazy.
Is there a version where you can see the scale of that thing? I've not seen it actually.
But people are saying it's the most expensive one
yet.
It's
$80.
$80.
Which is crazy because like
that. But it looks cool as hell.
Like that Batman one. The one that was like the Batlight.
Yeah.
By far, one of the best ones that has come out in recent years. But even that one wasn't. That was like $40.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how big is this thing?
It looks super cool.
Yeah, it's a giant head. If you want to eat popcorn out of Galactus's crown,
that's crazy.
And then there's the Fantastic Car, which looks pretty cool.
Yes.
So it's like an old school car. And then is there another one?
I mean, I don't know if it's a bucket, but I know there's like a Herbie thing.
Oh, Herbie.
But I don't know if it's a bucket or not.
Might be a sipper or something.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. So all the stuff is coming out. And then I do believe El Capitan announced their fan events, which neither of us will be going to.
Yeah, I was just like, because I'm going to a bachelor party that weekend. You'll be in Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I was just like.
Yeah, where are you going to see it?
Huh?
Where are you going to see
it? There's an IMAX near my house.
Okay, good.
And I was just like.
Yeah, just get it.
I need to see this because I'm not about to go through the weekend and not see it.
Yeah.
Even if I stayed off like social media that weekend, I'd still be mad that I didn't see it.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. So yeah, if you haven't yet, get those tickets. They are selling out like hotcakes.
They're crazy.
Crazy. The San Diego screenings are all sold out.
Cinema is back.
It's wild. I'm very excited. And yeah, steer clear of spoilers because I've seen some of some product of little baby Franklin already. I'm like, dang it.
You saw that?
I've seen at least two things with baby Franklin in it.
I mean.
And I was like, oh, well, that gives a lot of context to some scenes I've seen in the trailer.
Yeah. There's been like some other trailers too that
God.
kind of show.
Well, you mentioned the pregnancy one last episode. So, ugh. All right, We're almost there.
Some people, it's funny. People are like saying, because there is a shot of them.
Yeah.
Them three.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
That's
reluctantly
the one.
Saw it. I was like, it's so cute. But also, I'm like.
Someone said, the commenter said, like, they don't even know that's the most powerful human being in the world right now.
exactly. More powerful than any of the characters we've seen yet. But yeah, so one day we'll get to talk about Franklin, but not today. However, there is a show coming up that we'll be chatting about real soon called Ironheart. We briefly spoke about this in our last episode because they dropped the trailer after our Thunderbolts review.
Yes.
But we're just over a week away from the 3-episode premiere of Ironheart, which premieres on Disney Plus Tuesday, January 24th. How did you like the latest trailer? I did not watch it. I know I say this.
What am I supposed to say, Di?
You give me a non-spoilery review. Although I did see
a non-spoiler review.
Saw the discourse of like, oh, it's magic infused. Now I'm locked in, which is like, oh no,
yeah, that's
you're locked
in. That's basically what I was gonna bring up.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, there's some like, you know,
there's
juju.
Some mystical elements.
There's some juju going
some
on.
Juju.
Yeah. So like, we'll see.
That's cool. No, I'm stoked. And I am curious. I'm curious how that's different because again Riri is one of those characters where I know a very surface level idea of her as a character in the comics.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious what liberties they have taken or are going to take with the series. It'll be interesting. But yes, 3 episodes, first day.
Hey, I'll take it. I've been needing to watch something.
Yeah, for sure. And Dominique Thorne is just so good. And I think she's going to remind us like why we loved her from the get-go. So I'm excited. All that said, Are you ready to dive into this week's character study?
This might be the most wholesome one yet.
It's the most wholesome, the most wonderful character we've yet to cover. But just a reminder, we're not experts. We don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out. And in this episode, we're nerding out over, or are we, U.S. Agent.
We'll see how Wyatt Russell prevails in this one.
So for related episodes, check out number 107, Thunderbolts, with our guest, Stephen Ray Morris. We talk a little bit about John there. But as far as the comics are concerned, he was created by Mark Grunewald and Paul Neary. And the first appearance of John Walker himself was Captain America number 323, cover dated November 1986.
Mm.
And the thing is that he did not come, he did not hatch from the egg as U.S. agent. He had a couple of personas before that. So his very first one was that of Super Patriot.
Oh my God.
It's very, oh, you're in for a ride, buddy.
Super Patriot?
There's a lot of cringe.
Basically
in this
just
one.
Like going through a thesaurus and just being like, let's use these.
Yes. Jeez. And so this is the cover. I'm going to cover the amount.
That is Captain America.
That is Captain America on the cover of Captain America number 323. And so the issue title itself is Super Patriot is Here. and as far as notable attributes go, aside John, this is also the first appearance of Lamar Hoskins, a.k.a. Battlestar.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I just thought of that Loki line. What is it? From the first Avengers?
What?
Your savior is here. Yeah. Super Patriot is here.
Super Patriot.
Jeez.
Yeah. So do you want to take a crack at the cover price?
1986. Let me... I want to say 25 cents.
Mm-mm, too low.
Too low?
Too low.
They going 75?
Ooh, Jeff, 75.
Yeah. They charging three quarters.
Three
in 1986?
In 1986.
You could buy a,
what could
a
you
house.
Buy? A bicycle.
Yeah.
At the very least. Yeah, 75 cents for this issue when it came out. But right now in modern ages, you could get a CGC 9.8 on short box listed at $900, triple signed by Jim Shooter,
that's
John
crazy.
Beatty, and Michael Zack. Yeah, not too shabby for John Walker. On eBay, and a CGC 9.8 is up, signature series listed at $2,730.
Yeah.
Signed by the cover artist Michael Zack. And then as for the low end of the spectrum, short box has a CGC 8.0. That's for the low end.
Wow.
Yeah, so this issue has been well taken care of because it's only 80s, but still, you think about the 80s, it's like, oh, it's almost, this is a long time ago at
this
point.
It's 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know, right? 20 years ago, right?
40
yeah.
years. Oh, it's my 40, God, it's, four, it's 40, almost yeah. 40 years ago.
It's almost 40 years ago. So you could get an 8.0 listed at $25.
Hey.
And an eBay CGC 8.5 listed for $37.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fair market value is roughly $100 to $150. So if it's raw, yeah, definitely try not to pay any more than that. And then but you can find it going for about $35 depending on
that's
the
crazy.
Quality. Yeah. So John Walker, what was your first exposure to this character?
I'm trying to think if I no, it has to be
Falcon
and the Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. It has to be.
Mm-hmm. Because he existed in pop culture. I remember this distinctly. Throughout the 80s, 90s.
Okay.
And so he was in things. So that's how I remember him. But for MCU, like, there's nothing.
Yes.
There's nothing. Unless you watched the cartoons and stuff,
ah.
It was never going to happen. Yeah, very interesting. And so, yeah, I remember him because he had, like he does in the show and in this and in the films, he was very distinct because his suit was darker than Captain America's.
Mm.
And so you kind of, when they put them together, you're like, oh.
Who's that?
It's that guy. And so, funny enough, I combed my mini books and he was not in the villains book, nor was he in the superhero book.
Interesting.
So I had to pull out an old trading card.
Oh my gosh.
In pristine condition, mind you. 1993 Marvel Masterpieces of U.S. Agent by Frank Spinks. And so it states for John, when a substitute for Captain America was needed, John Walker answered the call. And when the Star-Spangled Avenger returned to the fold, Walker adopted the costume Cap had worn during his leave of absence and became the U.S. agent, given super strength by the power broker and trained in all forms of combat by the notorious Taskmaster. The U.S. agent does whatever is necessary to protect his country from any and all forces that might cause it harm.
Wow.
A few familiar names in that one.
Power broker for sure. They kept that. They kept that tie.
Yeah.
And then Tasky.
Tasky.
Didn't really have a
nah.
connection.
But that explains all the chopped up bits that didn't make the final film.
Yes.
Kind of. Not really.
In a way.
For sure. So as far as his, as John Walker's first appearance goes, we're taking it back. So again, it's the late 80s. And this story in particular took place after an incident with Captain America. And so as the old story goes, superheroes don't kill, right? Batman doesn't kill. Spider-Man doesn't. They all are not supposed to kill.
Yeah.
Well, such was not the case. Captain America killed somebody. Murdered somebody.
Hell, you know what? Hell yeah. Yeah.
So this is, it's a very nomad type of ordeal.
Okay.
Nomad in the comics is a different person.
Mm.
It's not Steve Rogers, but it is somebody affiliated with him. Either way, this was kind of a stage for Cap where, yeah, he went off the grid, he went rogue, and he was trying to save people, but he killed the kidnapper in the process. So,
wow, this is exactly almost...
Yeah, which is crazy, right? Yeah. They kind of like, oh, they adopted that kind of storyline. Yeah, yeah. So it was all because of a villain called Flag Smasher.
Mm.
Yes, and so you see,
wow.
You're like, oh, okay, they literally cherry-picked a few things and then put it in the MCU pot.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and so Cap then goes to the UK when he's off the grid to take on this mission. He then took a soldier's uniform, and that's when he shot and killed the agent to, quote-unquote, prevent him from slaughtering the hostages. So it was justified in his mind, but it obviously did not settle well, so... He disappeared for a day, and he still managed to capture Flag Smasher and successfully complete the mission. But nobody cared, because he killed somebody.
Yeah.
And so despite the heroic event, the idea that somebody like Cap shot and killed an adversary didn't sit well with the public. So, you know, even the Bugle was in on it, like, Captain America! Immediately shook his head.
Oh God!
I wish I had. I don't think I have the screenshot on me, but it was quite literally like
I literally saw a TikTok. I think, I don't know if it was today or yesterday.
I think someone showed it to me.
And then I don't know if it was that one, but like there was like a couple guys asking, and I think it was like, what if a girl like in bed asked
yes!
you like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And he's like, give me pictures of Spider-Man. Yeah.
It was similar to that. Very similar. Very similar. It was like I was in bed with a girl, and she said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Get me pictures of Spider-Man." So the same scenario. I gotta do that. Like if I was on TikTok, man, I swear I'd be killing it. I just don't have time.
It's hilarious.
I don't have time. So even the Bugle got in on this though. Like, and you know, Captain America, he is America's hero. And so for even the Bugle, as low lives as they could be at times, they were even covering it and being like, Captain America, he, you know, shot and murdered. Or,
yes.
You know, like they went to the rails with it. And so this, you know, this in many ways left people wondering, like, if this is what the world is now, is there a better way of going about this? Is there somebody else that can actually uphold the symbol of justice that Captain America, we thought Captain America was?
Yeah.
So they kind of feel betrayed in a very strange way. And so, I mean, now, you know, after all, you think about it, Captain America was now guilty of international manslaughter,
jeez,
right?
Yeah.
And so it just kind of shook the people. And so in the issue itself, Super Patriot actually opens the issue. And so it's John Walker. He's just showing off his agility, his skill, and you're just like, oh, who's this guy? And he's in red, white, and blue as well. And he hops into a limo after this insane, you know, like delivery of his physicality, jumps into a limo with his agent, Ethan Thurm, and he's looking, and you very quickly understand what kind of person this character is. And he's looking for a glitzy opportunity to make headlines while saving civilians. It's opportunistic for him. He's yes. pretty much the antithesis of every hero we know at this point.
Yes.
And so the first panel, we actually see John's face, and he is very much a crew cut, blondie. And he's got a star on his chest. And it's, again, it's similar to Captain America, but not quite yes. on it. And so it's kind of sad because Ethan is like, hey, John, put your mask on. There's an old lady being mugged by a big bruiser. Like, hey, this is your opportunity. Go save somebody.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. That petty crime isn't glitzy enough and it won't make headlines. And then they just leave and the poor old lady is just laying in the street.
Jeez.
John Walker. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, he's a super swell guy. And so amidst all this, Steve is, it's the issue, let's be honest, is primarily Steve being like, oh, can I truly be Captain America anymore? And yes. it's very similar to like Peter Parker.
Like, is it, can I save everybody?
Can I save everybody? Is what I'm doing, you know, does it matter? Is yeah. this the way that we should be doing things? And so the government essentially gave him options of like, you can continue to operate privately in the way that you are. And he had this hotline. Do you remember the old episodes of Batman?
Fawn.
Like 57 or 62, whatever it was.
Sure.
With Adam West.
Oh, okay.
And well, in the show, they had a hotline. And so it was like a red telephone.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody called it, they're like, all right, to the Batcave. And so it was a very similar situation in that Steve Rogers, whose identity was not known at the time. So yeah. people, we have to remember, people only knew Captain America. They didn't know who was under the mask.
Yes.
Much like Tony Stark, right? There were two people. Okay. Tony Stark and Iron Man were two people. So it's the same, similar situation. He was Steve Rogers as a civilian, but nobody knew that he was Captain America. And so he had this hotline and he'd have to give up the hotline service and then work in a different sector to continue to be Captain America.
Got it.
Because otherwise he was breaking laws, murdered somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. So it would help ease his sentencing is basically what had happened. And so he would have to leave the Avengers and then work for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
And it plagues him because it would stifle his ability to help people the way he wants to.
Yeah.
So later on in the issue, he's on a stroll having his, you know, existential issues and his inner narration is going berserk and he comes across this gigantic rally of people and it's for Super Patriot and it looks and feels like something right out of The Boys, which is so crazy. Like, yeah like Homelander. Imagine Homelander and all those people in, I don't know which, the last season, for instance. Super same scenario. And Walker is going on a tirade. This is the thing about Walker and his strange need for validation. It shows already in this first issue. He's going on a tirade about Cap and what he can do for the American people and how Cap is the far less superior version of who he is, the super patriot.
Yeah.
And so it's then like this trio of vigilantes storm the stage and they're dressed in Captain America gear. So oh they have gosh. Like, they have the same cowl and stuff, but it has a B. There's a B on their forehead instead of an A. And so they're brandishing guns and they call themselves the Buckies.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so it gives, the entire scenario gives Walker an opportunity to show off his skills in front of the crowd. He was looking for glitzy. He got it. So now everyone's like ooing and aahing, like, oh my gosh, he saved us from the vigilantes. He's so much better than Captain America and he didn't kill anybody. And so it makes him favorable to the crowd. And so Steve all the while is like, oh, I have to save these people. I have to jump in and do my part. Walker takes care of it. And he's like, oh, well, damn.
You
know? Yeah. And so it kind of really, it really cracks the armor that Steve is already crippling under. And so he finds the entire situation fishy and he decides to dig deeper and figure out who is the super patriot guy? What is his end game? And so he approaches Walker at dinner And just very plainly, you know, he calls him out on his bullshit. He's like, I think you put this all together. I think they work for you. I think you're trying to do something and become something for the people that you're not. And so this is something we've been absolutely robbed of from the MCU, because if you can imagine Steve Rogers and John Walker
going at it.
Oh my God. Like, Bucky and Walker is one thing.
Yeah.
But Steve Rogers would have put him down so quickly.
I believe it.
Yeah, it would have been amazing. And so, but Walker is incredibly stubborn, as we've seen on screen. He's the same kind of stubborn in the comics. He's like, all right, let's go. He's like, how about this? You and I, we get in a fight. Whoever wins, wins. If Walker wins, Steve has to admit defeat to Super Patriot and then retire.
Yeesh.
And Steve is like, you know what, actually, no, not going to do that. I'm going to take the high road. And then he then decides to dismiss himself. But then he gets ambushed by the Buckies.
Oh, God.
And so the Buckies go after him. And it's this, I think I have the screenshot. It's so silly because, again, back in the day, they're not the same person.
Yes.
Nobody knows that he is Captain America. And so he's fighting these guys in his civilian outfit. He's wearing like a red, white, and blue tie. And he's got sunglasses on because he has to be undercover.
That's Captain America right there.
But while he's fighting the Buckies, he has his briefcase with him, which he calls his portfolio, but it holds his shield. His shield is inside the briefcase, and he's like, I can't pull my shield out of the briefcase because then everybody would know I'm Captain America. I was like, oh, these issues are so funny. And so despite all of this, Cap decides to continue what he does best, putting himself in the limelight with a press conference. And he explains everything. He explains everything that happened. And he does it in such a way that you could just hear Chris Evans' voice, like, delivering it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it explained everything, even with Flag Smasher, and how he believes that killing is morally wrong, which is what the people needed to hear.
Yes.
And he, in the end, he left the audience with these choice words. And let me pull it up here. And he says, it's so funny, because, like, I think even in the old cartoons, and it's the voice that Steve Rogers does on the Spider-Man No Way Home, Homecoming, like the videos. Like,
oh, so you're in detention.
Yes. That's the voice that I hear when I read these panels.
That's funny.
And so this is the last bit he says on TV when he's making this grand announcement. And he goes, since becoming Captain America, I have done my best to live up to the ideals of the nation and Mahdi's. I like to think I have done a pretty good job at it, too. But I am only human, and even as I fall far from short of my ideals at times. But what I think is more important than how often you succeed at something is how hard you strive for it. I may not always succeed at being the example of all that is good in America, but I promise you, I will never stop trying. And so, like, with that, he, like, basically wins everybody over again.
Wow.
Everybody's like, Captain America!
That's my Captain America.
Exactly. And so the best part of that is that Walker is watching this all unfold from home.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting on his couch. He's watching his TV.
He's pissed.
And this guy, he's pissed, but not for the reason that you think. He goes, he didn't even mention me. He didn't even mention me. He said all of that and didn't even mention me. And that's what pissed him off, which is so funny. And so it's then Walker then swears that he is going to one day become a better symbol of America than Captain America himself.
Mm.
And so that's the first appearance of John Walker. And I promise you, he's not in it as much as you would think he is, but you really get a sense of this character. And so it isn't until issue 333 of Captain America that we get more of Walker's origin story, and that he came from a farmer's family and he was raised in Georgia with an older brother and sister. And so we'll talk about them a little later when we get into his familial ties. But before that, let's quickly chat about his first appearance as U.S. agent. God, this guy, he's a piece of work.
Just not a good person.
Just so crazy. He's so morally bankrupt. And so this is the cover of the first issue as U.S. agent. Very different, very dark, but very familiar.
Yeah.
If we're familiar with the MCU, John. And so Walker didn't finally take the helm of U.S. Agent until Captain America number 354, and this was June 1989. So this is 3 years after his initial debut as Super Patriot and shortly after his stint as Captain America during Steve Rogers' like quiet and questionable retirement. He just kind of disappeared. He was told to retire, and John took the helm. And so, like much of Walker's original entry into the Marvel Universe, the underlying premise is that the government's desire to replace Captain America with someone better, someone who would uphold the moral or lack thereof compass of the world in its current state. And they wanted somebody that they could control. Because, again, Captain America was, he would tell the government, like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Whereas John Walker, sir, yes, sir. I'll do whatever you want, sir. I'm Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, there's a different swagger to him.
Yeah.
And so after the first two failed attempts of heroism, including a faked assassination, Walker rose from the dead to take on the helm of his own U.S. agent, which was essentially an edgier and more cutthroaty version of Captain America than he'd ever been. And it all came with a price.
Mm.
So... If you got the vibe that as Super Patriot he was already like morally bankrupt, like it gets worse as U.S. agent because he has more power. It's nuts.
This is horrendous.
It was so hard, Jeff. I read like 30 comics at least.
My God.
And he's such.
He's bad everywhere.
Such a dick. But it's weird because like we're gonna talk about in a second. He has moments where he's almost likable. And you're like, there he is. And then he slips right back and you're like, this guy, he sucks.
Ah.
And so John F. Walker, a U.S. agent in the MCU, is portrayed by Wyatt Russell, who made his debut in 2021's The Falcon and the Winter Soldier series, created by Malcolm Spellman. And he was last seen in 2025's Thunderbolts, a.k.a. the new Avengers. So, yeah.
God. Wow.
You watched all of Falcon and Witcher.
Yeah.
Okay. I was gonna rewatch the entire series and I decided to just watch bits and parts of it because like I felt like I was pretty in tune with John.
No, yeah, I feel very yeah.
Yeah, and so from the jump in the MCU we knew him as like the sad replacement for Captain America. By the way, one of your pop quizzes, I was going to be like, which of the following names was not a name that they called him in the comics? Literally every sad name you can imagine, like Junior Varsity, Captain America, Dime Store, they do that in the comics.
That's hilarious.
So it's almost a carbon copy, and they just run, like every single time somebody refers to him, it's a different name.
That's hilarious.
It's so funny. I'm like, oh my God, this guy, no wonder he hates everybody. And so in the MCU, a sad replacement for Captain America, but underneath his bravado, he simply felt burdened with glorious patriotic purpose.
Of course.
And so what I did forget, and I will be honest about, is that I forgot he did the work. So this is one thing that I think is a little different from the comics. Like, he was obviously a decorated military man in the comics as well.
Yeah.
But in the MCU, he was really like, he took all the tests, he did all the runs, he served all the time, he did all the wars and the battles and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of admirable.
You got to tip your cap to that one.
Yeah, exactly. And so he did everything you could think of, except that Steve didn't give him the shield. Therefore, it made him not a candidate at all in most people's eyes, except for a few people.
I mean, yeah, it don't matter if you've done all that.
Yeah.
If you didn't get the shield.
Right. And I love that that's like Bucky's role in much of Falcon and Winter Soldiers. Yeah, well, Steve didn't give him the shield.
Yes.
Steve didn't give him the shield, which is true.
Why'd you give it away?
Yeah.
Why'd you give it away?
Exactly. And so, you know, as far as we have known him in the MCU, he's stubborn, he's imperfect, but he's very determined. And the further we got into Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we saw how resentful he became about the Super Soldier Serum, not only in Steve, but also in Bucky, which I thought was interesting. Because, like, yeah, and this is what I kind of love about Wyatt Russell in the role, is that much like the comic book, he has these moments, and he also, Wyatt himself, is like, looks like a guy who is a good guy.
Yeah.
But he has a side of him that you can just see darkens, and you're just like, oh, that guy's thinking things.
Yep.
and so that really happens when Walker realizes and also gets his ass handed to him by the Dora Milaje.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, best. Oh my God, it's so good.
He's like, Wakanda doesn't have jerseys. Oh!
Exactly. Yeah. And he absolutely got his ass handed to him. And so badly that he even says to Lamar in that situation, he's like, and they're not even super soldiers, which is like, ooh.
Yeah.
How bruised is your ego, darling?
I know.
Yeah. And so that really propelled the character for that series and into what would happen to him next, which, of course, he takes the serum not too long after, right? And so the rest of the season really pit those three against each other. So it was Sam and Buck against Walker, and then the formula Walker, which makes what Mel said in Thunderbolts so much more haunting, where she was like, you give somebody like Steve Rogers a serum and he becomes Captain America.
Yeah.
You give it to that guy, and she meant Bob at the time. But the same circumstance happens here. You give it to somebody like John Walker, and he went crazy.
Yeah, that's what Dr. What's his name in the first Cat movie?
You know this.
It's Dr. Steiner.
Erkstein.
Yeah. Steiner. Erkstein. Erkstein, he was like, you give... Oh, my God. What did he say?
You're right there, dude.
Oh, my God.
You're right there.
Guys, it's going to piss me off. Basically saying, if you get of an enhancement to a good man, that good man will remain good. You give it to a bad man, he becomes worse.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. And very close. The serum amplifies everything that is inside. So good becomes great, bad becomes worse. This is why you were chosen. Because the strong man who has known power all his life may lose respect for that power. But a weak man knows the value of strength and knows compassion.
Yeah. See, yeah. I pretty much said that. That's pretty much what I said.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was close.
It was
right
close.
There. It was right there. Yeah. And so, yeah, you give it to somebody like John Walker and he goes AWOL, but not bonkers, banana cuckoo pants.
Yeah.
Like totally. And what I liked about Thunderbolts is that they didn't have to give you, again, and we said this in a couple of episodes at this point, they didn't have to give you his entire history for you to understand, like, oh, that's an unhinged super soldier.
Yeah.
Because that, the moment that's always sticks out to me in the trailer, in the film itself, is when they're in that lobby of the tower and he skids that dude's face across the van. I'm like, yeah, that's Walker. It's unhinged glory. But yeah, so Falcon and Winter Soldier followed that classic Marvel Studios recipe in that they give you the bad guy, but there's always a red herring of another bad guy underneath that. And Walker played that part in Falcon and Winter Soldier, beneath the Flag Smashers and beneath the GRC and all those other people. And so it was interesting that he not only he lost so colossally that he lost the shield. He was no longer Captain America.
Yeah.
And it obviously started to pave a way that we see in Thunderbolts. But thanks to Valentina, of course, Walker's complicated files are temporarily dismissed because he becomes U.S. agent.
Yep.
And it's kind of like the Steve situation. Like, instead of being on the Avengers, he could be on S.H.I.E.L.D. and his sentence would be minimized. Almost the same scenario. So yeah, it definitely is interesting what they've pulled from Captain America history, as dense as it is, to kind of refocus and make a character like John Walker actually kind of shine in the MCU, all things considered. So before we move on, pop quiz. This is an interesting one.
Mm.
It is no secret that many have held the mantle of Captain America in the comics.
Oh, God.
Between John and Bucky, who held it first?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, like the actual.
Who was Captain America first? John Walker or Bucky Barnes?
Wow.
Because they've both been Captain America.
Yes.
So that's the interesting thing. We have seen Steve Rogers. We have seen John Walker. We have seen Sam Wilson. But we have not seen Bucky Barnes.
As Captain America.
As Captain America in the MCU. which notably Sebastian Stan has admitted that's what they kind of led him on with. They're like, you're going to be Captain America after Steve Rogers. And he was like, cool. And he never got to.
Damn.
Yeah. So in the comics, however, which one had it first?
Oh my God. How would that trajectory be?
Yeah.
It's like after Steve, and then it's like, oh, give it to my best friend Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it like, oh no, like John deserves it because of XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
I want Bucky.
You think Bucky?
Yeah.
Well, the answer, however, John.
Wow.
Because Jeff, you got to remember, Bucky Barnes died in the war.
But he came back.
Well, that's the thing. So Bucky first served as Captain America in Captain America number 34, January 2008. John served as Captain America in Captain America 333, September 1987. So as it is, Bucky had the longest tenure of absence in comic continuity. So at least in Marvel comics, not overall, maybe there's another character, but in Marvel, he is the longest absence of any character, and he was gone out of print for over 30 years before he returned in 2005.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so he was just not anywhere. He was gone. And he was gone. Yeah. So wow. So he didn't take the helm on until 20 years after John did.
Wow.
Which is wild. And then he's only capped for like
a little bit.
Teeny tiny time frame. Yeah, it's wild. It's so crazy. The Captain America timeline, I'm telling you, it's dense as hell. So next on our list, aesthetic. You can see Jeff, like that.
That first one is crazy.
Super patriot.
That first one is crazy.
It's so like
over the top.
It's so over the top. It's so unnecessarily red, white, and blue. And it's, I don't know, it's very funny to me. It's very classic Marvel, that's for sure. And so it wasn't, again, we didn't see much of the difference until he swapped into the Captain America outfit, which is the next one. And it's interesting because, you know, as much as they're supposed to look like the same person, the thing is that they really the government tried to guise him as it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Because, again, they didn't know it was Steve Rogers. They didn't know that there was a John Walker. They just knew Captain America. So they tried to guise him. And so the artists draw them all similarly.
Yeah.
But there's always something different.
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge difference. And so such is true with, like, John's star, for instance. It's a little different on his suit than it would be on Cap's. And, like, when Bucky was Cap, I think his ears were covered. Like, so they went back to that thing. And then Sam, obviously, we know, like, he had the white suit instead. So the Captain America suit does evolve into the U.S. agent. And that is, like, a dead ringer for the MCU version. Dead ringer. Like, the only difference is that helmet, which is actually more accurate in Thunderbolts because there's no star and it's more subdued and it's just, yeah. It's a pretty good progression.
And Falcon and the Winter Soldier, he looks so crazy without his beard, his facial hair.
I know, I forgot he was baby-faced. Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, he almost had zero facial hair in Falcon and Winter Soldier. And so, yeah, everything is pretty cut and dry, pretty interesting, very simple design. But yeah, you know, he got an upgrade and he's had that sleek U.S. agent look ever since.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Beret looks cool.
Yeah, I'm curious about the beret. It is. I did realize in Falcon and Winter Soldier, when he's in his regular military suit, he's also wearing a beret.
Oh, nice.
But he has it now, at least as of Thunderbolts, which is pretty cool. So, powers and paraphernalia. Oh, God.
Oh, this guy has super strength, super speed, super... Yep. Everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my God.
From the powers bestowed upon him through the power broker's treatment, Walker is able to lift 10 tons with his bare hands in the comics.
You asked me this question for Cap, how many tons?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like 40 or something?
Yeah, I think Cap's is more. Yeah, it's a lot.
I remember. Yeah.
He could stop a car.
Yeah, yeah, or yeah, like, yeah.
I don't know, something nutso. Yeah, it's definitely a shadow compared to Steve Rogers. But he also has superhuman strength, stamina, durability, speed, agility, and reflexes. And he's also an expert fighter and equipped with a bulletproof costume and shield. So that helps him a lot. And it helps him be reckless, which is a good word for him. And then in the MCU side, he is artificially enhanced physiology due to the revised Super Soldier Serum that he took in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, created by Wilfred Nagel. And as far as his powers are concerned, it's enhanced to its potential. So his natural physiology is enhanced, which is what you could say is like Steve Rogers on steroids, pretty much. So Walker was already, what they're basically saying is that Walker as Walker was already peak physique, human prowess. Mm. And the serum he took only made it even more perfected. So it enabled him with enhanced strength, durability, speed, agility, stamina, and reflexes, plus a regenerative healing factor and longevity. So he's got a little bit of that. He's not going to age as much with a touch of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of Bucky-ish. Yeah. Just not as advanced. And he's also a master combatant and marksman, as well as an expert tactician and engineer. So he's total package, this guy.
Typical.
But you know, if you are a shit bag, you're a shit bag.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, it's like, what good is it if you're kind of a
just not a good person?
Yeah, exactly. But again, no shame. Thunderbolts Walker is a good Walker. I like him a lot. So friends, family, and affiliations. This is probably the biggest brunt of John's actual story. And so it starts with his parents, Caleb and Emily Walker. And so they were very simply a couple of Georgian farmers who were pretty simple. They were unfortunately targeted by a group called the Watchdogs, who wanted to get revenge on Walker for derailing their moral cleansing. So basically the Watchdogs are these guys in the comics that wear these very like ridiculous like soldier outfits that cover their, they're almost like Judge Dredd but not as cool. So their face is predominantly covered, and they just all move in these factions of like 10 people. They all look the same, but they hate anything that's morally corrupt, and they very very specifically say like pornography, prostitution, drugs. And so they're that kind of group that anything that's morally corrupt, they want to dispose of and rid the world of. Cleanse it. They want to cleanse the immoral.
Of course.
And so Walker derailed one of their projects once upon a time. And so once they found out his true identity, they went after his parents. And Walker came to save them, of course, because, you know, who wouldn't? And unfortunately, gunfire everywhere, and they got caught in crosshairs, and they both died. They were shot to death.
Yeesh.
And it's so messed up because you kind of see a bit of his humanity peek through, because he immediately took off his helmet and he was cradling both of his dead parents, and he was like, "See, Ma, I told you I'd make you proud one day.
Oh, gosh.
Aren't you happy? I know." And it's like, oh, it's really sad and creepy, and it's like, oh, Jesus. And so it did not help Walker's mental health. Let's just say that much. And then there's Kate Walker, his sister. So early on, there wasn't much to be said about her. But like many of the characters in the Marvel Universe, she finds her own way in continuity. Uh-huh. And so she, once John moved on to become US agent and all that, she took on the helm of Super Patriot, and she kind of went crazy to Lulu.
Of course, as one does.
Yeah. And she's actually still around the ether. She's not dead. She's just somewhere out there being a crazy person as the Super Patriot.
Yeah.
I hate it when they do that with characters. Just let them, just go and go.
Yeah.
Just let them go. Why do they have to go crazy? And then there's Mike Walker, who probably plays the most important part in John Walker's life. And so he was the older brother who died in the Vietnam War. So I think he was like 10 years older than them, maybe.
Uh-huh.
So he went off to war, but he unfortunately died during it. And he was the reason Walker was even inspired to become a war hero at all, which is very similar to, we covered somebody very recently, and I can't remember who it was, but they were also inspired by a sibling.
Ooh.
Or somebody. Uh-huh. Or father or something. Yeah. And so we see this obviously because, again, Marvel is copying real life events. So they're folding in these moments of history into comics.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with Walker. So he was inspired by his brother and he was like, I want to become like my brother. And so it never seemed to go anywhere aside Walker just peeling potatoes in the army. So what really happened there is that he then heard about the power broker, and the power broker was essentially going around and telling people like, hey, we have this treatment that will help enhance you and make you the perfect soldier.
Yeah.
And Walker was like,
I'm in.
Yeah. He's like, Lamar, let's go do this. And Lamar was like, yeah, let's go. And then they both do it and not realizing what kind of undertaking it was. And so they both signed up to become a quote unquote Superman.
Yeah.
This program. And so the problem was, however, the power broker bestowed the power, but they had no payment. So Walker had to join the wrestling circuit to make money.
Gosh.
And then he decided, well, that's going to take too long. And so that's when he hooked in with Ethan Thurman to become a vigilante. Uh-huh. And then that's why he wanted the glitzy thing, so he would make more money and then he could pay the power broker off. So it's all kind of like,
there's always something, man.
Yeah, it's not
always
even
something.
It's not even authentic. He just wanted
power.
He wanted power. He wanted it fast and quick, and then he didn't want to pay for it back. Just like, dude. Captain America.
Yeah. That's and, my captain.
Yeah, right. And so none of those characters, none of the Walker family are featured in the MCU. So we're not going to talk about them there. But it is interesting context,
yeah,
if you can get it. Next on the list, Lamar Hoskins, speaking of, a.k.a. Battlestar. So Lamar and Walker, they're buddies. They had been friends since the service. They went into the service together and they then both enlisted in Power Broker's project. And so they both got heightened abilities. It's not necessarily a super soldier situation. Like, it affected John a bit differently than it did Lamar.
Yeah.
But Lamar also has enhanced strength and durability, dexterity, blah, 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 blah. And so he has it
loser.
Too. And so that's why as a Bucky, he became a Bucky, one of the Buckies. They were able they were able to do what they could because they were all superpowered. And so while Walker went on to be Super Patriot, Lamar became one of the Buckies, and it's actually B-U-C and then K-I-E-S. And so B-U-C stood for Bold Urban Commandos.
So stupid.
It's so dumb. Oh my gosh. And so AKA, they were a group of yahoos who would dress up as cap garb and incite activity at rallies. They were quite literally there to instigate trouble, which is very timely. And so after Walker became Captain America, however, he needed the right-hand man. And Lamar was the only one of the three original Buckies that passed the background checks. So those guys had such terrible, terrible, shady backgrounds that Lamar is the only one that could be the Bucky to Walker's Cap because his history was clean enough to pass. The other two were so corrupt that they were just overlooked completely. And so they became their own vigilantes, and we're not going to talk about them. But I will say their names as quote-unquote superhero vigilantes,
yeah,
were right wing and left wing.
Jeez.
Yeah.
My God.
That's what we're looking at, Jeff.
That's insane.
And I had a couple of screenshots I was going to show you. I'm going to show you after the show
because
they're that bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm surprised I could access it. I was like, I'm surprised they haven't censored this stuff. It's so nuts. But anyway, so Lamar became the new Bucky. And so the modern day Bucky, though these two were obviously not nearly as polished as the original Cap and Bucky Barnes. And so the whole namesake thing is pretty funny because in this instance, or at least this era of Captain America, they treated Bucky, like Bucky Barnes, like a mantle in itself, even though Bucky is literally James Buchanan Barnes's name.
Yes.
And so it was just kind of weird for a minute, but this is so, it's so freaking dicey. It was like kind of supposed to be cheeky at first, right? And then you kind of discovered they're like, actually, we're going to do a name change for you, Lamar. You're going to be known as Battlestar. And so somebody asks him, like, why did they change your name? And he said, well, apparently Buck, for a black man, is a slur. And so it kind of felt like, oh, Marvel realized, oh, we made a mistake. And so they're like, let's retcon that. Now he's going to be Battlestar. He's not Bucky. We're not doing that. He's Battlestar. So there's a lot of racist writing in this. And I was just like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Didn't like it. But I'm glad they did it better. And now he's known as Battlestar. And so Lamar Hoskins in the MCU is portrayed by Clay Bennett. And he was first and last seen in 2021's Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I think he was only in 3 episodes or something like that. And so, much like Steve and Sam, Walker had his own partner in service and Lamar was John's. And yeah, they basically stood side by side with one another, and they were working for the Global Repatriation Council.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going after the Flag Smashers, as we know, and they were forced to work alongside Buck and Sam during the entire series, which I thought was funny because, like, in retrospect, and especially now knowing what I know, it was like a very much a Cap'n Bucky and a Cap'n Bucky situation where it was like the pointing Spider-Man meme.
Well, it was like actual Cap'n Bucky and then like discount Cap'n Bucky.
Yeah, exactly. Which is sad because, like, they, yeah, you know, for all intents and purposes, Walker and Lamar were decent men trying to do a decent job. Yes. But
they thought they were doing the right thing.
They thought, yeah, exactly. They thought they were, but no. They weren't sticking the landing at all. And so, unfortunately, Lamar's life would come to an unfortunate and abrupt end after tangling with the Flag Smashers in the series, where he was murdered in the scuffle. And I remember, I was like, oh my God, because he got hit in the chest by Carly Morgenthau, who is the Flag Smasher and the gender-bent version of Flag Smasher in the MCU. And so, yeah, that's crazy. It spiraled into a bigger story because it was like, That's what led Walker to murder the man in the middle of the thing,
in the courtyard. Yes.
Yeah. Which then dethroned him as Captain America, and then he became U.S. agent. So imagine if that had never happened, it would have been a different story, which is, yeah, wild. So unfortunately, we never get to see Lamar really become Battlestar. And I remember while watching it, I was like, oh, wow, Lamar's in here. Okay, cool. Because I was already familiar with him a bit.
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, I wonder if he's going to be Battlestar. And then literally in the next episode, he got killed. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, never mind.
Hey.
Yeah.
Kill more people in the MCU. That's fine with me.
I know. Jeff loves it. And so last on the Friends family and affiliation list, Thunderbolts. So this is particularly interesting because the Thunderbolts have undergone quite the transformation over the years. And I'll say there's probably about 100 to 200 members, people that have folded in and out of that team.
How is that? Jeez.
Right. It's very interesting because, you know, they both skew both good and bad. So one iteration will be all good guys.
Yeah.
Next iteration, bad guys.
Horrible.
Next iteration, good. Yeah, it's crazy. So they've had a ton and ton of members and a ton of leaders, but the crossover for Walker and the Thunderbolts themselves is pretty light, but it is present. And so he's gone up against a version of the team as much as he's sort of been on one. So his, in particular, he was leading Kingpin's version of the team, which is Mayor Fisk's version. And so I can't remember
that's
who was
crazy.
On it. Yeah, I think it was, I forgot what the symbiote's name is. There's a symbiote on it.
John.
It's that. I mean, he's a Cancer. But the symbiote is like, I don't know, it's like not Pestilence,
sure.
That's an Apocalypse Horseman. But there's a symbiote on it, she's purple, and then it's a female Electro, Francis Fire or Fry,
okay,
Rhino, and Taskmaster are on that version of Thunderbolts. And so he was leading
Mayor Fisk. That's crazy.
Crazy. And so he led that one, but he was doing his own undercover co-op type of thing.
Yeah.
Just trying to get into the intel. And, yeah, funny enough, Ghost, Taskmaster, and Songbird, a.k.a. Mel, are the only MCU counterparts that John actually interacts with in the comics as far as Thunderbolts are concerned.
Wow.
So when Bucky is leading the team or is in the Thunderbolts, he's not on it. Yelena, same thing. Yelena and Bucky have been on the Thunderbolts at the same time, but no one else. And that's how it ties back to the fact that, like, oh, they actually have a bit of history. We're not going to talk about Taskmaster in this episode, but... Yeah, like the trading card said, Taskmaster was one of the people that helped train Walker back in the beginning. Because, again, it was part of the whole system of, oh, they're a bad guy, but we can pull down their sentence if they do good things.
Yes.
And so that was the origin story with Taskmaster and Walker. And so as for the MCU, you should know this one by now. So if you don't, what are you doing here? Go back to episode 107 and listen to our review all about Thunderbolts. But yeah, it's no surprise. He and Bucky didn't start on good terms. And then it kind of unfolded from there. And they're otherwise the family that Walker certainly didn't choose, but they chose him ever so reluctantly. And Walker is surprisingly a hilarious addition to the new Avengers.
Yes.
What did he say? Yeah, and all I got was a taco.
Oh.
What did he say? I love that. The line is so good. And the fact that they take it so far.
Yeah.
They took it to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Taco. He had a taco. But yeah, do you have any particular favorite moments of Walker in the...
I just thought about it. I was like, oh, well, one, I remember talking about the moment of when he touched the void. He touched.
Yeah.
And it was, and he went back to his flashback. I was like, oh. But the funny one is, I think, and I saw it like recently on like, they brought it up on like Twitter. It was when they were going through Bob's void rooms. Mm-hmm. He, no question, punches his dad.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, just no hesitation. Yeah. Like, just punches him. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you suck. Boom. Yeah. We got to go.
Didn't even question it. Loved it. I always missed, in all of the screenings I went to, I missed what they say. And I think he says something like, oh, he seems fun at parties or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Something
yeah.
And I was like, ah.
Or when Bucky punches him in a chicken suit.
The chicken suit. Yeah. So, oh, it's so funny. I love it. Yeah.
He's like, I was on meth, man.
He's like, I was on meth. Oh, God. So good.
So funny.
Yeah. I think everything, I mean, he's almost a scene stealer in his own right.
Yeah.
They're all scene stealers, to be honest, but... Like the whole like, it's me, it's Walker. Where were you? Like that's hilarious.
I was right
here. Yeah, exactly. And then and the way that Walker, the way that Wyatt ramps himself up as John, and he's like, I have to do everything myself, and you just kind of see him pop off. I think is incredible. But my favorite scene of Walker is indeed the Bucky Barnes. It's Bucky scene. And he just does that. And then then the bomb explodes because it's just too funny. I don't know if he's intentionally funny or he's just good at being that kind of comedic humor.
Their whole dynamic, just the whole team's
dynamic.
It's so
great.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's so
like
good.
It works.
Yeah, it works so well. And so, yeah, I really like it. And he even comes out strong. The first time he appears in the film, he's strong as hell. And you're just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who is this guy? If you had never seen him before, you'd be like, that dude is kind of dope.
Yeah.
Because he comes in so strong and so severely that you're just like, you instantly know he's a super soldier. But he's not the super soldier I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, fun fact. The gun that Walker uses in the movie, same gun that Captain America used in First Avenger.
Wow. Oh, like during that montage and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same gun.
That's a fun fact.
Same gun. I was like, what? So he somehow
has it.
Finagled his way into getting Captain America's gun. Don't tell Bucky.
Don't tell him that.
It. Yeah, it's wild. So next on the list, love interests. Crazy enough, John does not appear to have any substantial, let alone notable love interests in the comics. Aside one, there was one. Her name was Callie Vries. And so these two met in boot camp back in the day when Walker became superpowered. Callie then went to S.H.I.E.L.D., so she became a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. So that's kind of how their paths went parallel. And the thing is that they were super hyper competitive. So they were both trying to one up each other. But Walker, being the genuinely amazing man that he is,
yeah,
couldn't trust his girlfriend as far as he could throw her. So as much as he like loved her, he was all like, I don't know if I could trust her because I think she wants to be better than me.
Yeah.
Which is like,
okay,
settle down your ego, sure, my friend. Yeah. And so that led to a lot of their disconnect. And then despite being on a team called STARS, aka Superhuman Tactical Activities Response Squad, together, the two couldn't work it out and they eventually went their separate ways. So it just didn't work. And that is literally the only love interest he has in the comics, at least as far as I could find.
Wow.
Yeah. Because there is... Okay, so real quick, Callie does not have an MCU counterpart and Olivia Walker does not have a comic book counterpart. Yeah, so they just kind of, I don't know if they just felt like, oh, we need to dream somebody up for this guy because that's not going to work.
Yes.
And maybe it's too much of a Black Widow Winter Soldier scenario. So they're like, let's just start fresh. Let's make her a civilian. And so portrayed by Gabrielle Bindloss in the MCU, Olivia first appeared in Falcon and the Winter Soldier and she returned for Thunderbolts. And so short and sweet, she was a super supportive wife of John throughout Falcon and Winter Soldier, even though she only appeared in a couple of episodes. And then by Thunderbolts, as we know, the two had a child. And then Walker was just a negligent father and she left him.
He just wanted big headlines.
What's the line, Jeff? What's the line? The trash line.
Oh, God.
Come on, we just said it. His brain is melting.
This is how I hear it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what I see. Like, this is why your wife left. That's like, and really? I was like, Jesus.
No. Well, everyone knows you're trash, Walker. Even your family knows you're trash.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. When she's just going around, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And yet she didn't say anything about Bucky, which is very interesting. But
I'm telling you, they're going to get together.
No, they're not. I wish. Well, they're not.
I'm just trying to give you hope for your...
God! Yeah.
For your Bucky widow.
My winter widow.
Winter widow. Ugh,
God. So yeah. Sadly, I think that is the last we will see of Olivia Walker unless by some miraculous change she decides to come back to him. But I don't...
He's an Avenger.
He's an Avenger now.
He's an Avenger now.
He seems to be liking his new life. But yeah, so that's it for love interests. As for notable adversaries, oh God, this could have been huge. This could have been huge, but it's not. I pared it down.
Hates everybody.
Because, yeah, it's the same scenario all over again, right? It's like they have these interconnecting crossover villains.
Uh-huh.
Like I just mentioned, Mayor Fisk, for instance. Like they have all these people that could theoretically be connected, and we could talk about them. But, I mean, that's just an unending web.
Yeah.
And so the characters that are featured in this particular section... they could all be expanded upon in their own episodes. Well, the latter ones. So we're not going to get too deep in the weeds. But first up, like I mentioned earlier, the Watchdogs. So again, super problematic in the books. To quote a panel, they describe them as, in the comic book, they're an extremist right-wing group they hadn't seen for a while. Organized, well-funded, violent. They were known for attacking abortion clinics, pornographers, homosexuals, mostly moral issues. They Good got Lord. A lot of support playing on the people's fear. Which is like, and that was 1980s, okay? That was 1980s. Sounds crazy, crazy modern.
Yeah.
If you ask me. Yeah, they make quite a few recurring appearances. They ruin everyone's day. And then again, they killed Walker's parents. So they are awful characters. But what's even crazier is that the Watchdogs have in fact made their appearance in the MCU, technically, because they appeared in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't remember this. Do you remember this? Because you're the one that watched every single episode.
up to a certain point.
Really? Yeah, I no.
Like after the, I think after the Ghost Rider season, I wasn't following much.
Mm.
It was to the point where I was
when
like,
they went to space.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I stopped watching in like the middle of that. I was so into that series because it was only on cable.
It was good.
It was only on TV.
I just couldn't.
And there was nowhere commit. To watch it online. I was watching streams of weekly just to watch it. Because I was like, man, I love this.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Watch Dogs?
Yeah. So
probably in brief.
Yeah. I think if you saw a picture, you might have some recollection.
Like in brief, like reference maybe. But I don't know if they played like a major part.
Yeah, no. I didn't get the idea that they played a huge part. I think they were maybe in a couple of episodes. Maybe like as an homage.
Yeah,
of like,
Oh,
look, we need a filler villain.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're apparently floating around in the MCU technically.
Yeah.
But I hope they never bring them in because it does not sound nice. I don't want to see that on screen, like, depicted. I'm not into it. We got enough. We need escapism, dude. Like, we don't need the real. We don't need the real stuff. And then next on the list, Flag Smasher. So, again, briefly discussed this in a few Falcon and Winter Soldier-related episodes. But in the comics, Flag Smasher is one person, not a group. He is Carl Morgenthau, an anti-nationalist extremist terrorist.
Wow.
Well, we're probably never going to talk about this character or this group. They're just, I mean, it's like, it's kind of like they are what they are and that there's not much else.
There's not much like, there's not much like context.
No. They do what they do and they did what they did and that was the purpose. And so in the MCU, they were known as the Flag Smashers, plural, led by, again, Carly Morgenthau. Yeah. Portrayed by Aaron Kellyman. And so, yeah.
And they had like a serum.
Yeah,
like
they did.
They had powers.
They had the powers because they took the same serum that John
Walker
took.
Has. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they had that crazy power. And yeah, they wanted to restore the world to the state between the snap and the blip, which is crazy. Yeah. So they wanted to keep that previous balance that Thanos was looking for, which is like an interesting mindset. And they were against the GRC, Global Repatriation Council.
Yes.
And the GRC, just as a reminder, they are the ones who assisted refugees of the blip. So they were doing some good stuff. But
wow, it's so like close to home.
It's so close to home. I was like, dang, dude, it might be a good time to rewatch Falcon and Winter Soldier, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like you said, they took the super soldier serum and so it made them even more powerful. And which, by the way, Walker would not have even acquired if not for the Flag Smashers.
Yeah.
So it's ironic how that all came about. But Carly's big error was working with the treasure, Sharon Carter.
I wonder if we'll ever see her again.
I think we will. I think
because she is the power broker in
Madripoor. Right, exactly.
Because that's where the X-Men, right?
Oh yeah, it's a well-known city in the X-Men universe.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, so they often go there. It's the underworld kind of like slums.
That's right.
Which is exactly how they depicted it in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
it's like where you go to buy drugs and like body parts.
And it actually makes sense why
mutations.
Sharon is there.
I know.
Like we talked about this when we were talking about the review of the show.
Yeah.
People are like, well, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, she got kind of outed by her government.
Exactly.
And she can't really anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
So she has to resort to
illegal
things.
Exactly. She has to operate illegally to function, like to even exist.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be interesting because she killed Carly and then she just kind of disappeared into that world and we haven't seen her since.
Yeah, they're going there. With X-Men coming out soon. Yeah. Not soon, but
do you think she'll just be like DOA? Will she just be killed on like the minute she shows up?
I don't know about that, but she's definitely going to be manipulating people.
Ooh, she's going to be trading.
Some X-Men.
Yeah. She's going to be trading some mutants.
Yeah.
Yes, that's going to be crazy. And then next on the list, Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. Mm. So funny enough, Jeff, can you believe it? No major comic book crossover
at all between
Valentina and John Walker.
Yeah.
And so there have been some familiar incidents that have been adapted over into the MCU by Valentina, but as far as the comics are concerned, nothing direct. And then of course Valentina in the MCU portrayed by the great Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who made her debut in The Stinger, featured in 2021's Black Widow. Also portrayed by Chiara Stella as young Valentina in Thunderbolts. And so like we mentioned up top, she's solely responsible for getting Walker pardoned for his bad deeds and then brought him back as the U.S. agent. And then she's an absolute sly fox in Thunderbolts.
She sucks.
She's so great.
She sucks.
And it's also wild, like, just to think about the short-term history of Valentina in the MCU and the fact that she was in Black Widow, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Wakanda Forever,
yes.
Thunderbolts already. Like, that's already.
I mean, that's JLD, man. That's a
yeah, that's true.
That's a A-list actor right
she
there.
She is. Yeah, she's totally A-list actor. Oh, my God. I still have moments where I'm like, I can't believe they got her. I can't believe that, but they got her for the perfect role.
I know.
She's so good.
So good at it.
So, so good. And so, yeah, she's the vice president in the MCU, technically. Sitting president, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's the director of CIA as well as head of Oxcorp. I don't know if Oxcorp is even a thing
anymore.
It
gets me every time. I'm like, Oxcorp!
I know. I mean, can you imagine?
That tripped me out so hard the first watch.
You imagine how many people who did not think to look it up and are still thinking that that's Oscorp.
Yeah.
Because I encountered somebody yesterday and they're like, I wonder what that hamster from Oscorp. And I was like, what? And I was like, Oscorp or Oxcorp? And they're like,
Yeah.
Yeah. Ba-bum-ba-bum. But she's hardly a direct threat to Walker specifically,
yes,
at all. Now she's just his boss. So it's interesting how they've come about. And the same, it could be said about the next character, the last one on this list, Robert Reynolds, Sentry. In the comics, similar to Val, these two have little to zero crossover.
Crazy.
In the comics. Whereas in the MCU, portrayed by Lewis Pullman, first and last seen in Thunderbolts. Definitely not the last time we're seeing that guy. Holy smokes. So yeah, as far as Bob and Walker are concerned, it was a job gone terribly, terribly wrong. He refers to Bob as Bobby, constantly Bobby.
Bobby, come here.
Yeah. And then that dark-ass shame room and the near death by suicide jump. Yeah, still one of the greatest moments in that film.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I agree.
Did not really hold his own against the Sentry. And he got rewarded with nothing more than a taco for a shield. I don't even barely remember Walker in that fight because it was so, he got his ass handed to him so
quickly. All did. It was crazy.
Bucky did pretty well, but
he did all right.
But like, I like Ghost, I even remember Ghost a little more than I do.
I remember Alexi a little bit more.
Yeah, right? Like, it's kind of like he tried
getting
a couple
tossed
times.
Around.
Yeah, he got tossed around, and then he got the shield bent, and that was it.
Like, the taco.
The taco.
And he still has the taco.
He's trying to be Captain America in Infinity War. No, Endgame. Infinity War, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so yeah, there's no, like, direct line as far as that's concerned, but it does feel like in the comics he's very... They took care of his big baddie, which would be the Flag Smashers in Falcon and Winter Soldier. And so it'll be interesting to see what they put him up against in subsequent releases.
Doomsday?
I know. Oh, boy.
I mean, I just... When you have these ensembles, it's always like...
Yeah.
Who's going to get, you know, not the most screen time, but like, how are they going to divvy
how
up?
How are they
going to
distribute,
you know,
it? Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
The camera can only fit so many people in a screen.
Exactly. It's going to be really insane.
And movies can only be so long. Like, damn, this is really going to be
exactly.
another 3-hour movie.
It's going to be a 3-hour movie, yeah, for sure. 2-part, 3-hour movie. Part one, 2.5,
bring it
part
on.
Two. Yeah. I'm ready. Let's go. And so, as for Almost Was, I could not find any other actors that may have auditioned for this role. So, no surprise. I believe Sarah Finn actually confirmed that Wyatt first auditioned for the role of Steve Rogers, the original Captain America himself,
yeah.
along his inevitable co-star, Sebastian Stan. So these, both of them, went into the vat of Captain America auditions. And Seb obviously got Bucky because she says in the video, she's like, there was just something dark about him and I thought that was compelling, and then she gave him the role of Bucky instead. Then they went with Steve Rogers, Chris Evans, same thing, for Captain America. And then in more recent interviews, I found one of Wyatt, like, talking about that process again. And he even said himself, he was like, yeah, I don't think they actually thought I was good enough for it. And they just wanted to see if I could actually act. And then they brought him in as U.S. agent, which is even funnier because he's basically Captain America, just
dime just store. Like the not so great version.
Yeah, he's a Timu Captain America.
Pretty much.
And it works. It works for him. And
he's,
I think,
like, we got Captain America at home.
Fantastic casting. So it sounds like Wyatt's having a great time with it, which is the best part about all of it. So I think they did great. And I am interested to know if there is anybody else. I don't think there is, because there's like, now there's more guys coming out saying that they were like top four Captain America. And I'm like, oh. It's like years and years later, obviously.
It's
interesting. People are finally, the NDAs are clearing, and they're like, oh, I can talk about it now.
Yeah.
So curious if anybody will come up and be like, yeah, I auditioned for John Walker once upon a time. Oh, God. But as for the future of John Walker in the MCU, what do you think? What do you think's next for Walker in the new Avengers?
It's whatever they're doing. I'll tell you that. It's whatever the new Avengers are doing together. It just feels like. Yeah. They all need to stick together.
Do you think he's going to be in it for a while? Or do you think he's only going to be here a couple of times?
I think for a while, just not... I don't know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's so... It's hard to tell, but this could probably also relate to, like, Marvel releasing so many things in the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... There's no... how do I say it? Like... Who do you think of? Like, I would say the last one that you think of, it's like okay, Doctor Strange, like, like that's a staple right there. Yeah. But like now there's so like many like who are like, you don't know if anyone's like gonna be like super longevity.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Super like superstars. I don't know, like maybe Flo.
Yeah, definitely Flo.
I think that.
But even then, and we said this before, Flo's already at 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy because, like, the average tenure is 10.
Yeah.
And Seb is already up 13.
Yeah, I know.
You know, which is like, whoa. You think about
there's,
it. And
yeah, like,
whoa.
Who are, like, Thor's definitely going to come to an end at some point.
Yeah, I think the next one is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows when Jeremy Renner's going to come back as Hawkeye. If he does.
Yeah, I don't, he doesn't seem too interested.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but I mean, I get it.
So it's like,
yeah.
You don't know the longevity of these things, especially it's like, how do you even like end something like that? Like, not many people have gotten a proper ending, only maybe like a handful.
Yeah. Do you think that they've learned from that mistake?
I hope they'd have.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be because of like this revamping they've been doing. Like, they have to.
Yeah.
Like we haven't seen, like, for example, like, we haven't seen Shang-Chi in years. We haven't seen who else?
Kamala.
I mean, a couple of years for Kamala.
Yeah.
Sochi. Marvels. We haven't heard America Chavez.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen her.
In a while. Literally have not seen her.
And I brought this up when we talked about her. I'm like, if she's the only one of her kind that can do what she does.
Yeah.
She needs to be in like everything.
Maximum security.
Yeah.
Protect her at all costs and put her in everything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't
know. Telling me there's only one person in all the universes that can travel from universe to universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not be punished for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, it's not like she's replaying with the stretches of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, she's just chilling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what makes me wonder if they realize, like, oh, we don't have to give everybody a definitive through line, let alone a perfect or gigantic epic ending, because there are only so many characters, sad but true, that need that sort of treatment.
Yeah.
And it's such a spectacle that if they try to do that, the long time doesn't move that real life time doesn't move that way. So they can't be like, okay, in 2028, Shang-Chi is going to blah, blah, blah. We're going to do like, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Like,
that
you have to kind of just, I mean, you kind of have to do what you did like in the first like phase. It's you got to give like the people that you gave a first movie to, you have to give them like a sequel at least within the next like 2 years of that original, you know, one,
see,
you know,
they've already messed that up.
Iron Man came out, 2008,
yep.
Not late 2008,
2009, 2008,
and then Iron Man 2 came out 2000,
10.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously, and then Captain America First Avenger 2011. Mm-hmm. Winter Soldier came out 2014.
Yeah.
And then Civil War 2016.
Just doesn't work that way anymore. Because like we've seen in the last 5 years, strikes, COVID, it throws it all off. So they can't do that. They can't rely on that system anymore.
Yeah. So I think like during that time when they wanted to, like they wanted to give a lot of people their own superhero, their own movies, their first standalone movies, mm-hmm. first characters. Mm-hmm. But because you have so many, now it's like, well, how are you going to bring them in? So mm-hmm. that's why, you know, that's why people complain of like we haven't seen this person in however many years. Like, mm-hmm. how can we possibly, mm-hmm. How can we care about them in an Avengers movie? Mm-hmm. Which is a valid point. So, but I think it feels like they're trying to do it better mm-hmm. now, course correct a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wish they would release more sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only sequel like we got was Quantumania and Wakanda Forever.
It sucked. it wasn't their best work. It wasn't what it could have been.
Yes.
And so I think they're realizing like, and it's the system, right? And it's them stretching the dollar till it's transparent. So they really. And it's just the world at this point.
Yeah.
So they really have to be more precise. Like, I could see, it's not going to happen, but I could see beyond Doomsday or another quote-unquote Thunderbolt scenario, I could see Walker having his own special feature and just being U.S. agent and just having 1 hour and a half movie or something.
Sure.
Doesn't need a series. Like, I like Walker, but he doesn't need a series.
Yeah.
And so I think they could do that treatment with more characters. Ghost, for instance. Ghost doesn't need to be in a big full-fledged movie with her own thing like in Ant-Man and the Wasp again. We've seen it. But I could see her in more... I could see these characters more in a lot of small projects than few big ones.
Yes.
Is basically it.
Yeah.
And so... because, they're as much as we would love them to be, Walker is not Captain America.
Yeah.
He's and you know, Yelena is the closest thing we've even seen to a character that's supposed to be a reprisal that may be even bigger than her predecessor at this point. You know, she's like a rare case.
Super rare.
Super duper rare. So I don't know how it's gonna play out, but I think we'll see more of heroic Walker. He's still going to be a shitbag, but he's going to be funny and he's going to be tolerable, but it will be interesting to see. But, you know, at his core, we do know he's a super soldier, so he ain't going anywhere too quickly.
Yeah.
And he ain't going anywhere too easily.
Yes.
So I'm sure whatever they do, it'll be interesting. And Wyatt Russell seems pretty chill, so I think he'll be game for anything. But we don't expect to see them back until Doomsday, and that'll be in a couple of years. So, guess we'll see. As for suggested reading, this was a tough one. There's a lot. It is a lot of repetition, but it gets better with time, at least modern day comics, I mean. And so starting off, 1989's What If Number 3 from Jim Valentino, Dave Simmons, Bob Downs, Tom Vincent, and Rick Parker. So this is a very interesting issue. It's credited as the source for Walker's meltdown in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where he showed the world that he could take things into his own hands and murdered that man in the courtyard. And so it's a scenario where Steve Rogers refuses to step down as Captain America, and it sends Walker over the edge. And so he does whatever the hell he wants, and he kills people. So it's an interesting read. 2020's U.S. Agent series from Christopher Priest, Giorgiante, and team. And so it basically shows Walker as an indie government contractor doing his business, all the shenanigans that come with it. 2022's Devil's Reign Villains for Hire arc from Clay McLeod Chapman, Manuel Garcia, and team. And so that title, that's the one that ties into Devil's Reign, the Daredevil, huge Daredevil arc, Mayor Fisk et al. And it leads Walker into the Daredevil series, actually. And it's a magnificent issue where Daredevil absolutely hands Walker's ass to him. And then he takes his shield. It's the funniest thing. It's like Walker is so confident, and then Daredevil just completely puts him down. And then he's like, oh, actually, I'm going to take your shield, too. And just takes his shield and walks off. And that's the last time I think we've seen John Walker in the comics. So it's been a couple of years. I don't know if he's popped up anywhere else. But he does have cameos here and there. But yeah, that's the last major story he's been in. And then last but not least, any of the 1980s Captain America from his origin story. It's crazy. Like, the reads are... Again, they're very racist. They're sure. Very troubling. It's a bit disturbing. It tells a lot about the character and the era he came from. But yeah, you would start around 323, read all the way into the 370s. That's what I did.
That's crazy.
So many issues of Captain America in my brain right now. It is the John Walker experience, as I put in my notes. And so... All that said, that is the end of the show, thank God. It could have been a lot worse, I promise you.
It
could have been a lot worse. I actually went a little light on him, but thanks for listening. Next episode. So we're still dabbling in our Thunderbolts waddling pool until Fantastic Four and Ironheart drop. So
yes.
Next up on the show, we're going to chit-chat finally. Actually, to your point, Jeff said finally, Taskmaster, which is going to be interesting because, as we know, Taskmaster is Tony Masters in the comics and Antonia Dreykov in the MCU.
Yes.
So that'll be an interesting exploration. Join us in 2 weeks for that. And finally, a thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and a special We Are Groot salute to Chris, Ashley, Andrea, Tyler, Ed, Andrew, Melanie, Ariel, Nats, Joe, Liz, Jenny, Edgar, Robin, Katie, Laura, and Sherry. Follow us on social at STRKC and TRST. And if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, let's see. I've been in the trenches of every war-torn country on this planet, rescued God knows how many hostages, and shook the hands of two U.S. presidents. What else? High school state football champs. Back to back to back. Go Bears.